I'm so disappointed in this family, I hiccuped. This isn't who we are.
Ivy,
Romeo intoned. I gave him a hard look, and he shut up. None of you want to fight? I looked at Brayden. Resolve filled my insides, laying thickly over the panic and fear. Then I'll do it alone. I rushed across the room to where my bag was hanging by the door. I snatched it off the wall and jammed my feet into a pair of Uggs.
Ivy!
Brayden yelled and came rushing toward me. Before he could make it to my side, I rushed out the front door and ran across the lawn to my car. They were all acting like it was over, like there was nothing left to do. Silly players. The clock might be winding down. The offense game was strong, but the game wasn't over yet. There was still one play left, and I knew exactly what it was.
Chapter 40. I'll be back in 10 minutes. If I'm not, wait longer. Hashtag sleeping in. Hashtag do not disturb. Hashtag buzzboss. Brayden. I stood in the center of the yard and watched her drive away. She shouldn't be driving like this. What the fuck was she even thinking? Where the hell was she going? On impulse, I ran to the truck, intent on following her down the street. Fuck! The keys were in the house. I hit the steering wheel and let out a frustrated yell. I looked over when someone knocked on the window. Romeo glared at me through the glass. I popped the door open, and he caught the steel frame and pulled it wide. Let her go. I looked at him like he had three heads. Are you fucking insane? Let her cool off. She just needs a minute, Romeo said, calm. Did you not see her? I shot out. She was talking crazy. Not crazy, Romeo said. Then his lips turned up. Just a little louder than the rest of us. I gaped at him as a cool wind blew. My muscles constricted against the chill. Not you, too. You really think anyone in that house is just going to let you get dragged through the mud? Your dad, my dad, will do everything he can legally. What are you saying, Romeo? I asked. Will you hang with Rim for a while? What? I shook my head. Everyone in this family was going fucking crazy. She's upset. She needs her BBFL. And there's somewhere I need to be. Two things. One, he never said BBFL because he thought it was stupid. So that was a dead giveaway he was up to something. And, two, he didn't have to be anywhere. Where are you going? I crossed my arms over my chest. Nowhere you need to know about. I advanced on him, my fists tightening against my sides. You can't fix this. I don't want you to fix this. God damn, Rome, let me do what I need to do. So, ruining your entire career, upsetting your soon-to-be wife, and making your kid live with the stigma that his father was charged of manslaughter is what you need to do? Selfish much? I decked him. I punched him right in his cocky, know-it-all face. I got sick satisfaction by the way his head snapped back and the surprise flooded his eyes. You deserve that, I ground out, thinking about hitting him again. He smiled. The motherfucker smiled. About time you showed up, he drawled. He was goading me? I swung at him again. This time he was ready, and he moved so my fist only grazed his shoulder. So I acted fast, shifted my weight, and buried another punch right in his midsection. Romeo's eyes flared, and I motioned for him to bring it on. He swung, and I moved. But he was quick and anticipated my counter move, so he brought his other fist and socked me in the jaw. Ambidextrous asshole. The hit was hard, and I stumbled back but gained my footing. Physically, Romeo and I were well matched. In the past year, I'd put on a little more bulk than he had, so technically, I might have had him with my weight. But Romeo didn't live by technicalities. Rome was a born leader, and he gave as good as he got. He hit me again, and I felt the warm trickle of blood at my lip. I ignored it and let out a cry, tackling him onto the ground. The driveway was hard and cold. Neither of us was wearing a shirt, but those things didn't penetrate my temper. All I could think about was how fucking pissed I was. And scared. I was scared, too. Truth was, I wanted to just accept my fate. I wanted to take my punishment. Maybe I couldn't have saved Zack. Maybe I could have. Either way, it didn't matter anymore. He was dead. I wasn't sorry he was. That was his punishment. Perhaps this was mine. I swung down, and Romeo rolled, pinning me beneath him. I grabbed his arms and started grappling with him. I caught some traction with my foot, and I rolled us again, putting me back on top. I raised my fist again, ready to take a shot. This time I wasn't going to miss. Stop! A hysterical voice screamed. I glanced up. Romeo grabbed my fist in his hand. Rimmel was running across the yard frantically. She tripped on her sweats, and I stiffened, but she caught herself and kept on running. "Don't you dare hit him, Brayden!" she demanded. "Trent! Drew!" she yelled behind her as she rushed.
"You're in trouble now," Romeo sang.
I shoved off him and stood.
"He started it!"
Rimmel stopped before us, hands on her hips.
"What the hell are you two doing out here fighting in the middle of the yard? This is not the zoo!"
"Rome sure looks like an ass to me,"
Rimmel gasped.
"He got me right here, baby."
Romeo was good at sounding pathetic as he pointed at his jaw. Of course my sister fell for that shit. She made a distressed sound and rushed forward to take his face in her hands and look him over.
"Pansy ass," I muttered as Drew and Trent came out onto the lawn.
Rimmel turned to me with an angry look, but then it changed to one of concern.
"You're bleeding."
"Looks like he's not the only one who took a few hits."
I dabbed at the corner of my lip.
"How could you?"
Rimmel accused Romeo and rushed to my side to dab at my face.
"You should probably clean that up, baby," Romeo said, completely unbothered by the fact he just got yelled at by his girl.
He stepped forward and kissed her on the head. She pulled back from me, bewildered. Romeo retreated into the house and shut the door behind him. Rimmel turned back to me.
"What in the world happened?"
"Man stuff," I said.
"Told you brothers hit each other," Drew quipped. I half smiled, remembering the night she'd lit into him for threatening me.
"We shouldn't be fighting now," she said sadly. "We need each other."
I felt bad. She was right. Not only had I upset Ivy, who freaking sped away, but I took shots at my best friend and now hurt my sister.
"I'm sorry, Tudor girl."
I draped an arm over her shoulder, hoping that, coupled with the use of the nickname I sometimes called her, would buy me some points. The garage door opened, and the smooth purr of the Hellcat filled the driveway. We all turned to watch as Romeo backed the car out of the garage and hit the brakes so we would all move out of his way. I guided Rim to the grass, and he backed up a little more. She rushed to the window, and it slid down a little.
"Where are you going?"
she demanded. He said something I couldn't hear. Her shoulders slumped, and she nodded, backing up to my side. Before he rolled up the window, his eyes locked on mine. We stared at each other silently for long moments before the window slid back into place, and he drove away. Wherever he was going was for me.
Chapter 41. You don't like me until you need me. Hashtag BuzzBoss knows things. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Ivy. I knocked on the door and waited. My stomach was in knots, and I knew I probably looked a mess. I'd run out of the house without any makeup on, and my hair just barely brushed through. I was dressed in a pair of chocolate-colored leggings and an oversized mint-colored hoodie with fur around the hood. Beneath it was Brayden's Wolfpack t-shirt. I'd slept in it and just threw on some comfy clothes when I rolled out of bed this morning because I wanted to go get some juice. Was I wearing a bra? I'd never tell. I was still in shock over everything that happened this morning, the way everyone just stood around without saying a word. I couldn't just sit. I had to act. This wasn't somewhere I wanted to be. I needed to be here. I was determined to fight for Brayden, just like he'd fought for me so many times before. I thought back to all those nights he slept on the floor outside our bedroom door just in case I needed him. Even if I lived to be 100, that knowledge would always melt my heart. And as I stood here at the door of my once best friend, it also strengthened my resolve. The door opened and Missy's dark head appeared. Clearly, she'd still been in bed. She was dressed in pajamas and her hair was rumpled. "I need your help," I said without pause. Her body jerked upright and her eyes went wide. Clearly, she hadn't been expecting to see me or hear those words out of my mouth. But I didn't have time for games. The truth was, I did need her, and she owed me. She owed us all. "Ivy," I nodded. "Let me in." She pulled the door wide, and I stepped inside. Her room looked like it always did, gray and yellow with pops of white. The covers on her bed were shoved aside, and the pillows were all askew, and one bore the dent of her head. I stood in the center of the room, not really sure what to do with myself. How far we'd come. At one time, I would have flopped right down on her bed and made myself at home, but she was a stranger to me now. I glanced at the bed where her roommate was lying, scrolling through her phone. "Would you give us a minute?" Missy asked. I smiled sweetly when the girl looked at me. "Sure. Want a coffee?" "Sure. Thanks," Missy said. The girl looked at me, and I wrinkled my nose. "No." "You say no to coffee?" Missy asked when the roommate was gone. I shrugged. I didn't come here to talk about my tastes, and I wasn't going to tell her about the baby. The way she was, it would probably send her into some wild, jealous rage. "I need your help," I said again. "Why would I help you?" I didn't even laugh. I just looked at her, dead calm. "Because you owe me, and you know it." "I don't know what you could possibly need me for," she sniffed. At least she didn't try to deny she was a scallywag. "Progress? Nah. But at least it gave me hope she'd do what I wanted." "It's for Brayden." I dropped his name like an atomic bomb. In a way, he was. To the friendship I once had with Missy. Of course, it really wasn't him that blew things up. It was her. He was just who she used as an excuse. Her gray eyes flared. Even after all these months, she still had a soft spot for him. Love? I didn't like to think about that. Besides, I wasn't really sure she was capable of loving anyone but herself. But she definitely felt something for him, and I was going to use it. "What's wrong with Brayden?" she asked softly. God, I hated hearing her say his name. I swallowed down that reaction and took a steadying breath. I knew she knew what happened the night Zack died. I also knew Brayden had been here to accuse her of the panty trick. It was the reason he knew Zack was lurking around, because Missy broke down and told him. So because the buzz boss knew probably a lot more than even I did, I didn't bother trying to explain. "Robert Bettinger is filing charges on Monday morning against Brayden for manslaughter," she gasped. "What? So help me God, if I read this on BuzzFeed," I growled. "I won't do that," she snapped. "You better not, or I will bury you at this school." She glared at me, a glint coming into her eyes. I stepped forward and glared back. I had a hell of a lot more at stake here, and I meant this. I would take her down. She'd never be able to show her face in the entire state if she hurt Brayden with this information. She must have sensed my total intent, because she nodded, and then said, "But he didn't kill Zack." "No, he didn't, but Robert is so grief-stricken he can't think straight. And he seems to think ruining Brayden's entire career will make him feel better." "His career?" I sighed. "I know you know he was put in the draft for the NFL. She glanced away. "Yeah, Missy still kept tabs on him. The little bitch. If he gets arrested, everything changes." She nodded. "What does this have to do with me?" I told her. Her eyes burned with interest and even a little satisfaction. "You have what I need, don't you?" I asked. She nodded. Hope took hold inside me, and I clung to it. "What's in it for me?" she asked when I was done talking. "Nothing," I deadpanned. I wasn't giving her shit. Then I relented, a little. "It's a chance to make up for some of the hurt you've caused. I know you still have feelings for Brayden. Don't let him go down for something he doesn't deserve." It killed me that she was the one that had the power to help him. I wished I never had to see her face again. This wasn't about me. It was about B. He told me he'd do anything for me. I told him the feeling was mutual. This was me proving it. She thought about it for a long minute, and I wanted to scream. But I didn't. I stood there and waited, holding my breath. "Give me a second to change," she said. "You'll do it?" I asked. "Of course," she said, a sly smile forming on her lips. "What's good about being the buzz boss if you can't take advantage of the power?" Ew, she was slimy. But right now, slimy was just what I needed.
Chapter 42. Some love you never get over. You just learn to live without it. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Romeo. Pretentious. That's the word that came to mind when I pulled up the driveway of Robert Bettinger's estate. It was a large white colonial-style house with a long curved driveway. Sure, I knew he made good money and was a successful lawyer, and sure, everyone liked nice things. But there was an ostentatious vibe about this place that smacked a man in the face when he arrived. We're better than you. I almost felt sorry for Zach because he no doubt felt the pressure from just living in a place like this. Pressure to live up to the image his father seemed to desperately want. There was a black Mercedes and a BMW parked near the front door. Both cars looked ritzy and kind of somber. It made me a little too happy to park the lime green muscle of my car right beside them. After the engine was off, I got out and stretched a little. B landed a couple of good hits this morning. I hoped he was feeling the ones I gave him just like I was. It had been worth it, though. Seeing him just accept his fate, become a mere shell of the asshole I knew he was, had been scarier than anything my father was saying. He needed a good reminding of who he was. So I gave it to him. I also gave him a chance to take some of his anger out on me. That's what brothers were for. In the back of my mind, I wondered about Ivy. I hadn't expected any less of a reaction from her this morning. It was pretty on point with how I felt. I just held it in. But still, she was pregnant and scared for the father of her baby. I didn't know where she was or what she was doing, and I worried about her. I knew Brayden was probably worried, too. As I walked up to the front door, I shot her a quick text. "We're all worried, me included. Call me." I hoped I'd get an immediate reply, but none came. I sent the screen dark and shoved it back in my coat. Before I could even knock on the door, it swung open. Robert stood there in a pair of navy blue jogging pants with silver stripes down the sides. He was wearing a white t-shirt with a blue zip-up jacket over it that matched the pants. Was this some 80s workout video, or was this his further attempt at projecting an air of superiority? "Did I interrupt your workout?" I couldn't help but ask. The look he gave me was bewildered. "What?" "Nothing," I said, and inwardly laughed. "Yep, he just thought the outfit made him look rich." "What are you doing here, Roman?" he sniffed. His hair was combed and his face was shaven. It was quite a contrast to the last few times I'd seen him. He seemed a little more together this morning, a little less like he was falling apart. I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Good thing equals maybe he would see reason. Bad thing equals maybe he was putting himself back together so he could take Brayden apart. "I came to talk to you," I said. "I don't think we have anything to say to one another." "I think we do." He moved to shut the door in my face. I slapped my palm on the wood and pushed. He looked at me wide-eyed. "What's the matter, Bettinger? Afraid you might not like what I have to say?" A man like him couldn't resist a challenge. He let me in. The wide foyer was spotless, just like I knew it would be. Everything was austere and in its place. My parents had a big house, but it wasn't like this. Their place was a home. This was a museum. I followed him into a formal sitting room to the left of the wide front door. The furnishings were dark. Dark wood, dark leather, and had a very traditional masculine feel. I didn't sit down. I preferred to stand when I wanted to tower over the people I wanted something from. Plus, there was no way in hell I'd give him the satisfaction of looking down on me. "Say what you came to say and then get out. I have a case to prepare." "The one against Braden, you mean?" I replied coolly. "Your father works fast." His voice was just as cool. "Did you think he wouldn't?" "It's his right." He shrugged a shoulder and sat in a leather club chair. I wandered over to some ugly-ass painting and pretended to look at it. "Is it your right to destroy someone else's life because of the way your son lived his? If you came here to trash-talk my son, I suggest you leave," he said hotly. I turned and looked at him. "You knew damn well when you let me in this wasn't some visit where I was going to shit rainbows and lie to you about Zack. I won't listen to you disparage his memory." "I don't have to do that. His own actions speak for themselves. He was sick," his father said, the first hint of anything other than steadfast denial I'd heard from him. I'd always suspected that. "What was wrong with him?" He glanced up at my tone. It was a lot different than the one I'd been using before. Kinder, less accusatory. "He never had an easy life, my son. That was my fault. I did all the wrong things and tried to pretend too long that everything was fine when it wasn't." "You tried to help him at the end. You sent him to that hospital. I didn't know he was so far gone. So much like her that he was able to fool the doctors into letting him out for a little while. If only I'd known, everything would be different." I almost felt bad for Zack. But this guy, Zack's father, I felt downright sorry for him. He was clearly living in deep regret over the things he thought he should have done. I probably should have gone, just left him in peace. I couldn't do that. "Who was he like?" I pressed. "His mother. She was severely bipolar. It wasn't a healthy environment to grow up in." "Zack was bipolar. It explains so much. How else could he be one person, the charming frat president, one minute, and someone else the next? A psycho douche." "You blame yourself," I said, coming around and sitting in a nearby chair. "When you become a parent someday, you'll understand. It's a father's job to protect his children, even when it's hard. I turned a blind eye for too long, and now he's dead. And you want to punish Braden for your mistakes." His eyes flared and anger gathered around him like a heavy coat. "Braden will be punished for allowing my son to die." I shook my head sadly. "You're a good lawyer, Mr. Bettinger. My father has always respected you, and your family name has been highly regarded in my home my entire life." He looked up, gleaning a little satisfaction from the praise. "See? Pretentious. You're a smart man. You know full well my father is going to be able to prove reasonable doubt that Braden didn't kill your son that night." He glared at me. "Oh, yes, he knew." I smiled. And now he knew I knew. "So you aren't doing this to see justice served. You're doing this to ruin Braden's life, to hopefully make up for the fact that you never did right by your son." He leapt out of his chair with flared nostrils. I leaned back and looked up. "Maybe you think this is one way you can do right by your son. To make sure people know he wasn't the reason he died, but it was because someone else killed him. After everything,
I added, soft. You're still worried about your status.
You need to leave, he huffed. Drop this. Don't file those charges on Monday. Let this go. Let your son rest in peace.
He jerked back like I punched him.
How dare you lecture me about giving my son peace? You have no idea what his life was like, which is exactly why you need to let his death have amity.
Amity. That was a $50 word. Rim was rubbing off on me.
You don't want amity for my son, he spat. You just want to save face. You're the one worried about status, about that football career. You're wrong.
I said hard and stood. He had to look up to maintain eye contact.
I could give two shits about my status. I stopped caring about that a long time ago. And my football career is solid. I already have a contract. It's ironclad. What happens with Braden won't affect that.
Then why are you here? He ground out.
Why are you pushing me?
Because I'm protecting my family, just like you're trying to protect yours.
Get out.
He started out of the room toward the entry hall. I followed along behind him at a much less hurried pace.
Drop the charges.
He flung open the door and turned.
I will never drop those charges, and nothing you can say will ever make me change my mind.
You will after you hear what I have to say.
I looked past Robert and onto the front porch where Ivy stood, filling the doorway. Her eyes were determined, and her back was straight. I smiled.
Seems we had the same idea, Princess, I drawled. Fucking impressed she'd come here. To the house belonging to the father of the man who raped her. And she did it for my brother.
Her eyes flickered to mine.
I saw your car outside. What are you doing here?
Same thing you are.
Her blue eyes softened for a second when she smiled at me. I winked.
Well, let me save you the trouble, Robert snapped at her. No!
I think you better let us in,
a new voice joined in as someone stepped up behind Ivy. I drew back.
Ivy brought Missy?
What the fuck? Ivy glanced at me. Trust me, she said with her eyes. I nodded once. Robert seemed just as surprised as me that there was now not one but two women filling the doorway. Before he could recover, Ivy marched inside with Missy hot on her heels.
You're going to listen to what I have to say, Mr. Bettinger, Ivy intoned. Because if you don't, the entire world is going to know exactly what kind of man your son really was.
His face blanched. Ivy stepped forward, grabbed the door from his hand, and slammed it closed.
Chapter 43 Standing in front of the biggest story of the year. Hashtag BuzzBoss knows all. Stay tuned. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Ivy. I made her ride with me. There was no way in hell I was going to trust she would actually get into her car and follow along behind me like a loyal and faithful friend. It made for an awkward car ride, especially since I wasn't about to make small talk or entertain any of her tries. It was hard to find his address, and once I did, it was just a matter of following the GPS on my phone. When we pulled up the driveway and I saw the unmistakable green Hellcat, I wanted to laugh out loud. Of course he was here. I should have known better than to underestimate my family. What's he doing here? Missy worried. Her anxiety level rocketed as she stared at the car. Guess we'll find out. I parked right behind his car and looked at Missy. You're doing this. It wasn't a question. I didn't want reassurance. I wanted her to know she wasn't getting out of this. Maybe once I do, it will prove to you that I really am sorry for all the stuff that happened between us. You mean all the stuff you did to me? I thought. I didn't say it out loud because I wasn't about to antagonize her right now. I needed something from her. Come on, I said, and got out of my Toyota. My stomach growled and felt queasy at the same time. I'd been feeling morning sickness for a while now. At first, I just brushed it off. Sometimes I ignored it. But I couldn't do that anymore, not now that I knew the cause. I should have eaten this morning. Sick or not, my baby needed nourishment. Not that I expected to be standing on this porch, either. Just as I was about to knock, the door flew open, and Robert was yelling at Romeo inside. Romeo didn't seem concerned at all. Typical Romeo. But I didn't like the things he was saying. If Romeo hadn't been able to get through to Robert, then what hope did I have? You have the buzz, boss. God help me. It was a comforting thought. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that Romeo was getting nowhere. It didn't matter that looking at Robert reminded me of the hell I went through with Zack. It didn't even matter my old best friend was standing behind me and I was using her as my secret weapon. I was doing this. I wasn't leaving here until I got what I wanted. After I slammed the door, Robert stood staring at us, like he couldn't believe I'd just invited myself into this mausoleum he called a home.
He calls you princess?
Missy asked, gawking between Romeo and me. To reply, Romeo walked to my side and draped his arm across my shoulders. Missy stared as he leaned down and kissed the top of my head.
I texted,
he growled.
You didn't answer.
I was busy.
So I see.
Missy continued to openly gape. I hadn't been this close to Romeo before. It happened naturally over the course of time. Time Missy was no longer a part of.
Don't let it happen again.
I rolled my eyes and poked him in the ribs. He tightened his arm around me.
I don't know what's going on here, but if you don't leave, I'll be calling the police.
No, you won't, I said, and pulled away from Romeo. He let me go, but stayed close.
And how do you know that?
Robert scoffed. Because you've made it clear you want your son's name to not be ruined any more than it already is.
If it's ruined at all, it's because of the lies you're spreading about him.
I didn't have anything to do with the attack on Rimmel and Romeo, I countered. He started to argue with me, and I held up my hand. I'm not here to debate anything with you, or even argue. We're never going to see eye to eye on this. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you understand what will happen if you go after Brayden. I walked into the over-decorated formal sitting room just off the entryway and pointed to the wood coffee table and then at Missy. Missy dropped to her knees beside the table, pulled the laptop out of her bag, and opened it up. As the laptop booted up, she laid the bag she'd brought with her beside it on the table.
What is this?
Robert demanded, stopping in the center of the room to stare at Missy and me. It's the only chance you're going to get, I said flat. Romeo stood nearby, arms crossed, watching the unfolding scene. I understand you loved your son, Mr. Bettinger. No one is here to dispute that, but I know you have to be aware your son wasn't always the nicest guy. He did things, a lot of things, that were unsavory.
If this is about the alleged rape...
It's not alleged, I snapped. How dare he try to make it out like I was pretending? It was the single most horrible thing to ever happen to me, and I would not stand here and allow him to make light of it. Your son drugged me. He used my room key and took me into my own room, into my own bed, and he raped me. I dragged in a breath. He said horrible things to me that night, things I wish I could forget. I have to live with that. I have to live with his voice taunting me as he violated me. Robert paled and took a step forward. His eyes were angry, and it scared me. But I held my ground. Romeo noticed him moving, and he stepped forward and dropped a hand on his shoulder.
Stay back,
he warned. It wasn't a friendly warning. I have proof. I kept going. Proof that he raped me. I have an entire folder of pictures that made it very clear about what happened to me that night. Your son took pictures because he was proud of what he did. And then he sent them to the school buzz boss in hopes that his conquest would get out and humiliate me even more. Robert made a strangled sound.
I don't believe you.
Believe it, Missy said. And those aren't the only photos he sent the Buzz Boss.
What is a Buzz Boss?
He asked, his voice becoming a little nervous.
Think of it as a direct hotline to every single student on the Alpha U campus. Kind of like a chain email, but way faster and more accessible.
I can't believe the dean would allow such a thing.
He doesn't, Missy said. Buzz Boss got taken down, but that's the thing about the web. Alpha U doesn't own it all.
And how do you know what this Buzz Boss has on my son?
Missy stood.
Because you're looking at him.
As if to prove a point, she pulled out her phone, did a few things, and then slid it back into her pocket. Seconds later, both Romeo's and my phone went off. Romeo pulled his out of his back pocket and lit up his screen.
Well, would you look at that?
Romeo scoffed and read the buzz out loud.
Standing in front of the biggest story of the year. Hashtag BuzzBoss knows all. Stay tuned.
He held the phone out so Robert could see the notification. I dug out my phone, pulled it up, and did the same. The challenge left his eyes, and beneath Romeo's hand, his shoulder sagged.
What do you have on him?
Missy made a sound and dropped in front of the laptop. Within seconds, she had file after file of photos pulled up.
Here he is at the beginning of last year, hazing one of the dropouts from the Omega fraternity.
She turned the screen around to show a picture of Zach holding down a young-looking student and pouring what looked like vodka in his mouth. You can tell by the picture the kid was already drunk and was choking on the liquid being forced on him. He also had a black eye and a bloody nose.
Here he is shoplifting from a local business, something I have pictures from 20 different days of him doing. I would imagine he'd stolen quite a lot in 20-plus trips.
Missy clocked through several images in which he was clearly stealing.
Here he is vandalizing one of the professor's cars a few semesters ago. I heard that spray paint had been impossible to get off, and the teacher had to pay to have his car entirely repainted.
Another picture.
Here he is assaulting a girl from a campus sorority.
That image was particularly difficult to look at, but I couldn't not look. She was tied to a bed. Hands and feet. She was completely naked. And Zach was, doing things to her with a beer bottle. I must have made a sound because Romeo was suddenly beside me, gently turning my face away from the screen.
Change it,
he roughly ordered. Another click brought up another, and another, and another. Each picture seemed to get worse than the last. I was horrified that I wasn't the first and only woman he assaulted. In fact, some of them he was so horrible to, it made me feel guilty for being in so much pain about what he did to me. I ended up burying my face in Romeo's chest as Missy went through more than a dozen photos, going over them in graphic detail. I was going to have to add an extra therapy session to my schedule for this. This whole time I'd been so ashamed. So adamant that no one know what happened to me. I was embarrassed and didn't want people to look at me as a victim. Was that how all these girls felt, too? Were they ashamed, afraid, and alone? Maybe if I had said something, it would have helped another one of his victims. I started to tremble, and Romeo swore lightly under his breath.
I think he gets the point,
he said over my head to Missy. I heard the snap of her computer lid, and I took another moment to compose myself.
Rest assured, I have more of the same. All of those are backed up on a hard drive that only I know the location of.
Missy intoned. I heard the rustling of the bag she'd brought along, and I looked up.
About Brayden, she began, clutching the bag. I know for a fact that Zach had intent to kill him. He told me.
He didn't,
Robert said, his voice small and shaky.
He was obsessed with me before he died. He thought we were going to be together.
She dumped the contents of the bag on the table. These are gifts he sent to me. Each has a handwritten note. She picked up one small card and took it across the room, handing it to Robert. Recognize the handwriting? He stared down at the card. My heart broke for him when he started to cry. Missy snatched the card away as if she were afraid he might try to destroy it. He stole this dress from the place where Ivy works. The night he kidnapped Ivy, he left it on my door with a note. He wanted me to wear it to celebrate the next night after he killed Bee and Ivy. The note makes his intentions quite clear. Romeo sucked in a breath, and I pulled back to look at Missy gratefully. But she wasn't done. You can check the log at the hospital he was in upstate. He had a visitor before he was released. It was me. I signed in under the false name Blair Bryan. I'm sure if the staff were called to testify, they could identify me as that woman.
My son.
Robert's voice broke.
Your son was very sick,
Romeo said gently, kindly, like he was talking down a man from a ledge.
You already told me that. I believe you. We all believe you. Maybe the things he did were symptoms of that illness. Right now, it isn't public knowledge of the kind of things he did. Yes, the accident details and how he kidnapped Ivy are public record. But I think you and I can both agree that's nothing compared to things Missy has on him.
Robert was utterly defeated in a way I'd never seen before. He practically slinked over to the leather club chair and sank into the cushions.
You would release all that information? Use it to completely ruin my son's name. And your reputation,
Romeo intoned.
My wife would never agree to come back then. Never.
His voice was empty. I'd feel bad. If I wasn't doing this for Brayden. Oh, I would use it. Missy's voice was almost chilling and dark with promise. The Buzz Boss doesn't hold back. It's cost me a lot. She looked at me, but then back at Robert. But it would cost you way more.
What do you want?
He sobbed. My stomach turned. I felt dizzy. What we were doing was disgusting. We were basically blackmailing this man. But what choice did I have? It was him or me, just like the night Brayden made a choice. Him or Zack.
Walk away from your vendetta against Brayden.
Romeo cut in, cold and calculating. It was clear he was the son of a lawyer, because he knew exactly when to move in for the kill.
Drop your entire case. Don't file charges, and stay the hell away from my entire family. And once I do, what's to stop you from releasing all that information away as revenge? I give you my word,
Romeo said.
I think you know my word means something. What about her?
Robert looked to Missy.
She'll delete everything,
Romeo answered. Missy's eyes widened, and I thought she was going to protest.
And if anything she showed you tonight ends up on the BuzzFeed, you can sue her for defamation of character, and I'll testify against her.
She gasped. You wouldn't?
Fuck yes, I will.
He rumbled. Do we have a deal? I said, anxious to get the hell out of there. I just wanted it done.
What? What choice do I have?
Robert replied miserably. There's always a choice, I said. You just have to choose the one you can live with. Robert seemed to consider my words.
Let your son rest in peace,
Romeo said softly.
I'll drop the case. The charges will never see the light of day. Your friend is free.
I sucked in a breath, afraid to believe. Romeo stepped forward and held out his hand.
Do I have your word?
Robert looked between Romeo and his hand, then slowly placed his inside.
You have my word.
When he was done, he moved past me to stand in front of Missy.
I'd like your word as well.
Her word doesn't mean a thing, I thought, but I wasn't about to tell him that, not after getting what I wanted. Fine, she said and shook his hand. Missy started packing up her stuff. Robert turned to Romeo.
I'll call your father and let him know. Then I'll call my contacts and shut it all down. Do it today,
Romeo ordered.
If Brayden gets so much as a speeding ticket on Monday, I'll start posting that shit myself. I'll sue you,
Robert threatened.
You'll have to prove it was me first. So arrogant,
Robert muttered.
I could say the same thing about you.
He smiled, but it wasn't a gesture that reached his eyes.
Now that you've gotten what you wanted, kindly get out.
There was nothing kind about the way he said it. With pleasure, I said and started ahead. A wave of dizziness slammed into me, and I swayed on my feet.
Whoa.
Romeo rushed forward and picked me up.
The baby?
He worried.
Baby!
Missy gasped. I shut my eyes and winced.
Ivy.
Romeo worried and gave me a little shake. I opened my eyes. I'm fine. With all the excitement, I didn't eat, and I barely got my juice. He chuckled.
Damn orange juice.
Don't tell B. He'll only worry. He's been through enough. Romeo's eyes narrowed. Please?
Fine, but we're going to get you food right now.
Robert walked to where we stood and looked at me with searching eyes.
You're expecting?
Yes, I lifted my chin and replied. He nodded.
I understand why you fought so hard,
he said.
If you'll fight that hard for the father of your child, then you'll fight even harder for the child himself.
Yes, I will. Don't forget that. My absolute confidence in that statement made a ghost-like smile appear on Robert's face.
It's for the best, then. I hope you do a better job with your child than I ever did with mine. We're going,
Romeo said to Missy over his shoulder. The three of us walked out of the house while Robert held the door. Well, I didn't walk. Romeo carried me because he refused to put me down. He was as bad as Brayden. When the door to the house latched behind us, Romeo continued on down the stairs.
Wait!
Missy called after him. He stopped and turned. She came rushing down the stairs.
You're pregnant?
She asked.
With Brayden's baby?
I squeezed Romeo's arm because I knew he was about to say something sarcastic and mean. I didn't like Missy, but she did just totally help keep Bea out of jail. Yes, I am. So many emotions passed behind her eyes. One I just couldn't ignore any longer. You love him, don't you? I asked. She smiled sadly.
It doesn't matter because he loves you.
I truly am sorry.
So am I, she said.
Romeo didn't seem to care we were having a moment. He made a rude sound and jolted me gently.
Give her your keys, princess.
My keys?
You're coming with me,
he said. My car.
Missy can drive your car back to our place.
Was he on drugs? Or maybe I was a lot dizzier than I thought. I was hearing things.
You'll meet us there, right, Missy?
Are you serious right now? I asked, trying to get down from his arms. I was driving myself home.
Serious as a heart attack. Stop trying to get down. It ain't happening.
You're stupid.
That the best you got, princess?
He was totally amused. I can walk, I grumped.
Last time we let you do that, you ended up here.
I wilted.
Brayden was probably really upset. Romeo wasn't the only one who had texted. Is he mad?
What do you think?
He asked. I frowned.
You know he won't stay mad at you for very long. He never does.
Then he pinned me with a hard look.
You never should have come here alone.
I wasn't alone, I rebuffed. We both looked at Missy as if just realizing she was still there. She was watching us with a shuttered look on her face. But even so, I could tell she was hurt. It was like I had the life she wanted. The sad thing was, it had been her life too. She was the one who threw it away. We should go, I said, wiggling down.
I'm not letting you out of my sight. Not after you almost face-planted in there. My nephew is starved.
It's a boy? Missy's voice cracked. It's too early to tell, I said, elbowing Romeo. He just likes to say that. I pulled the keys out of my bag and held them out to her. Do you mind? Sure, she said and took them.
We'll be right behind you. I'm gonna swing through the first drive-thru we see,
Romeo told her as he went to the Hellcat and managed to open the passenger door while still carrying me. Okay, Missy said, her voice sounding a little far away.
You want anything?
Romeo offered. That was awfully nice of him. No thanks. She seemed surprised he would offer.
Cool. See you at the house. Someone will drive you back to the dorms.
Missy drove away first because she was parked behind Romeo. When she was gone, he glanced at me.
Think we can trust her with your car?
I grimaced. I hope so. He started up the engine and then leaned on the steering wheel, turning his head to look at me.
That was all you in there.
He motioned toward the house. I had some backup. I smacked him lightly in the arm.
How'd you know she'd help you?
I glanced away and out the window. Because she's in love with him.
I'm sure going to her was hard,
he said.
And then what went down in there?
I pushed away the unwanted images of the few pictures I looked at. It was worth it, I whispered. Anything for Brayden.
Do me a favor, huh?
Romeo asked, and pulled down the driveway. What?
Marry my bro, okay? Not only does he really love you, but I want to keep you around, too.
I smiled. I'll keep that in mind. He grinned and held his fist in the space between us, and we pounded it out.
He's free.
The relief in his voice matched the relief I felt. I melted back against the leather seat and let out a sigh. He was free.
Chapter 44. We all love Romeo. He only loves a few. They will be loved for life. Hashtag, I've seen the way he loves. Hashtag, an alpha's love is the strongest. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Brayden. I was standing in the driveway when Ivy pulled up. Soon as the car rolled to a stop, I rushed over and wrenched open the driver's side door. What the hell were you I stopped short. Missy blinked up at me in surprise. 2 seconds. That's how long you've got to explain, I growled and looked in the back seat for Ivy. The car was empty. Where the hell was my girl? I moved back, and Missy turned off the engine and got out. She's on her way, she said, her eyes never once leaving me. It's like they latched on and wouldn't let go. A long time ago, I would have liked that. Now it just pissed me off. That's not good enough, I intoned. The familiar purr of the Hellcat cut into our conversation. I craned my neck as Romeo pulled into the driveway. I peered through the windshield. Ivy waved at me from the passenger seat. He stopped the car right beside me, and I forgot about Missy to open the door. Ivy climbed out, and I let out a string of curses. Do you have any idea how pissed I am at you? I swore, even as I pulled her close and buried my face in her hair.
I'm sorry, she said against my shoulder. You didn't answer your phone. I was worried sick.
I'm fine, I promise.
Romeo got out, carrying a styrofoam cup with a straw sticking out of the lid. He came around the hood and held it out to Ivy. It's not empty yet. She groaned, and I looked between them.
He's as bossy as you are,
Ivy scowled. She didn't eat breakfast, he tattled. I made a frustrated sound and grabbed what looked like a milkshake and thrust it at her. Feed my kid!
I ate a hamburger in the car,
she muttered. Romeo and I both stared at her until she rolled her eyes and put the straw between her lips. Only then did I turn to him. Thanks for finding her, man, and bringing her back. I held out my hand. He shook it, but as he did, he said, She found me. I glanced over at Missy, wondering how the hell she fit into all this. I need answers. Inside, Romeo said. Everybody still here? I nodded. Even your dad. Rim's been worrying. I didn't need to say anything else. He started inside immediately. I reached for Ivy's hand to entwine our fingers together. A few steps toward the house, and she glanced over her shoulder at Missy.
Come on.
I slid her a look out of the corner of my eye, but didn't say anything else about her invitation for the devil. Missy followed along behind us, silently. When the three of us walked into the house, everyone looked up with surprised faces. Missy blanched, but otherwise said nothing, and her chin tipped up stubbornly. Rimmel was already in Romeo's lap, and Anthony was still sitting in the same chair he had been when he told me I was going to get arrested. Ever since mine and Rome's punch fest in the driveway, I'd been thinking about what he said. Was it selfish of me to want to just take the punishment, even if the punishment wasn't exactly warranted? Even if it would mess up not just my future, but Ivy's and my baby's. I wasn't a weak guy. Hell, I was far from it. Everyone called Rome the alpha male of this family, and yeah, he was the head of us all. But that didn't mean I wasn't an alpha in my own right. I was. Still, I wasn't too sure how to fight these charges without making everything worse. And I was tired. So fucking tired. Giving a shit about stuff was a hell of a lot harder than just having fun. Ivy has news, Romeo said, drawing all the stares away from Missy and me out of my own head. My eyes whipped to Ivy. She glanced at me and smiled. I went to see Robert. What? I ground out.
Be quiet,
she hushed me, and Drew laughed. I gave him a narrow look. You think it's funny your sister went to the house where her rapist grew up? I spat. That shut him up.
I didn't go alone. Missy came with me, and Romeo was there when I arrived. You went to see Robert?
Rimmel asked Romeo. I wasn't about to just accept what he was doing to this family. Roman, Tony spoke up. I'm not so sure that was a good idea. You both probably just gave him more ammunition to use in court.
I brought a little ammunition of my own, Ivy said.
Romeo grinned. You should have seen her, B. She owned it. Owned what? I asked, frustrated. Ivy stepped forward and sat on the coffee table in the center of the room.
When I left this morning, I went to the dorms to see Missy.
Missy came a little farther into the room and nodded.
As the buzz boss, she has a whole computer full of dirty secrets on half the people on campus. Try all the people on campus,
Missy corrected. I glanced at her, and she shrugged.
People are devious.
She would know about that.
Anyway, Zach was so crazy, I figured we weren't the only people he'd tortured over the years. Turns out I was right. Missy has files full of horrible things Zach has done.
Why did that make my skin crawl? And why did those words put shadows in her baby blues? What did you do, Ivy? I asked quietly, already regretting that whatever she did in my name had somehow cost her.
We...
she began, glancing at Rome and Missy.
Just showed Robert how it would benefit him to let all this go and let his son rest in peace.
I pinned Romeo with a hard look. Talk.
He did. He told everyone exactly what went down at Robert Bettinger's house this morning. I was fucking blown away. Ivy sat on the table, drinking her milkshake like she hadn't just blackmailed a powerful lawyer into giving me my life back. When Romeo was done, he turned to his father. Think we can trust Robert to drop this like he promised? Anthony nodded. After hearing what kind of information you have on Zack, I know he will. Robert still has to live in this community, and he won't want to give up his good name. I've known him a long time, and when he gives his word, he's good for it. It was over? Just this morning, I was looking at manslaughter charges and saying goodbye to my football career, and now, just hours later, everything was handed back to me. I looked at Rome. He smiled. I felt something inside me crack. I was free. Princess don't play, Romeo quipped. Rimmel giggled. I spun and sought out Ivy. She must have recognized the look in my eyes because she lowered the drink from her lips. I rushed forward and picked her up off the table and held her out in front of me. You fought for me.
For us, she corrected.
You shouldn't have gone there, I growled and crushed her against me. It was stupid and reckless. I know it hurt you. Her hands clutched at my back, holding me to her. It's like we weren't in a room full of people. We were alone in our own little world, a world that was now full of a bright future. Thank you, I rasped. She hugged me tighter, then pulled back.
I couldn't have done it without Missy. She's the one who used the information she had on Zack to convince Robert.
I stepped up in front of Missy. Her eyes were slightly wary, but she didn't move back. I hugged her. It wasn't the kind of hug I gave Ivy, or even a friend. But it was a hug, just the same. Then I pulled back to meet her surprised gray stare. Thanks, miss.
You're welcome.
Her voice was hoarse. I turned back to my family, and Rim rushed at me. I caught her, and she laughed.
I'm so happy,
I chuckled. That makes two of us, Tudor girl. This calls for beers, Drew said.
It's not even noon,
Ivy admonished. I'm never drinking again, Trent groaned. Rimmel gasped.
I forgot. Ivy, wasn't tonight the night we were all supposed to go to Screamers for...
She glanced at Tony and grimaced. He laughed. An engagement party full of people your age? Romeo laughed.
I completely forgot,
Ivy said. Cancel, I told her.
What?
Ivy gasped.
We can't just cancel. Everyone is supposed to be there. Yeah, it can be an engagement slash celebration for you,
Rimmel agreed. They're ganging up on you, B, Romeo drawled. Fine. I mumbled and mentally began to adjust the plans I had for the night. Anthony stood. I should be going. Valerie is going to want to hear the news. She's going to be so relieved. He came around the table and stood before me. I'm happy for you, son.
Thanks,
I said, and he hugged me. I returned the hug, and I suddenly had a strong sense of what it would have been like to have a father. Hell, maybe all this time I had... Tony never treated me as anything less than a son. He'd always been there, just like this morning, sitting in our living room for hours, trying to come up with a way to make sure I still had a future. That was family, not blood. And that was what I was going to teach my child. I was a little choked up when he pulled back. When he looked into my eyes, he must have seen, because he nodded once. Always going to be here for you, son. He picked up his briefcase and car keys off the table.
Would it be okay if I come with you?
Rimmel asked Tony. Romeo made a choking sound. You want to go to my parents? Rimmel nodded.
I have an idea, and Valerie is the best person to help me.
Baby, are you sure? Romeo asked.
Definitely.
She nodded and turned to Ivy.
Want to come? I could for sure use your help. Maid of honor on duty.
She said and nodded. Well, then,
It will be a pleasure to have such lovely ladies keeping me company on the way. Between this and the news about Brayden, Valerie will be on top of the world. Rimmel grinned, and I chuckled. Someone is starting to thaw where Mom's is concerned. I'm just happy, Rimmel agreed. Call when you're done, I told Ivy. We'll come get you. Tony was already by the door, waiting, and after Rim said bye to Romeo, she met him over there as well. Ivy took her time practically dancing around the room, giving everyone a hug. It was funny as hell. You put liquor in my girl's shake? I asked Romeo as she hugged Drew. Ivy bounded over to Trent and hugged his hungover ass as well. She wrinkled her nose.
You smell. Go take a shower.
Yes, ma'am, he muttered.
Oh,
she said when she moved toward the door and saw Missy.
I'll
drive her back to campus, I said. Ivy turned and looked at me, wariness in her eyes. I'll go with him, Romeo said. That seemed to make her feel a little more comfortable, and she turned back to Missy.
Thanks for everything. It was the least I could do, she replied.
Her eyes held a lot of regret, and I knew it was because of everything she could have been a part of with this family. But Missy made her choice. Yeah, maybe what she did today made her not as despicable, but she would never be a part of this family again. The girls left with Tony, and I turned back to the guys. I got a lot of shit to do before tonight, I announced. All three of you are going to help. Trent's going to take a shower first, Drew said, so we don't have to smell him the entire day. Trent gave us all the finger, times two. What you got in mind, B? Romeo asked. Something that just this morning I was uncertain of, but now? Now it was full steam ahead. The future.
Chapter 45 Hashtag, come party with Romeo. Your hashtag BuzzBoss has learned there will be a second engagement party for the campus celebs tonight at Screamers. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Ivy. Word got out. Really, we all should have expected it. Of course, with everything going on and the fact we almost forgot to attend our own party, I guess it didn't seem so far-fetched that none of us thought about it. And yeah, the latest buzz, courtesy of the Buzz Boss herself, certainly helped add to the crowd. Frankly, the fact that she obviously went home after everything that happened this morning and then posted a notification about the engagement party I set up at Screamers for Romeo and Rimmel tonight didn't give me the warm and fuzzies. It totes made me worry. If she would use the info she overheard at our house this morning about something as silly as a party, then what would she do with all the other information she learned? The stuff that wasn't so silly. I tried not to think about it, but as Brayden turned the truck into the way-crowded parking lot and reporters swarmed and lifted their cameras, it was hard not to. She was probably inside. To get inside, she had to walk past the reporters. Missy was nothing if not dramatic, and I hope she avoided the urge to perform on her way.
Damn. I hope inside isn't like this,
Brayden muttered as he looked for a spot. Behind us, the green Hellcat purred into the lot and was closely followed by Drew and Trent and my brother's Mustang. It was like a little family parade. Brayden insisted we take his truck tonight. It seemed silly to me for us to bring three cars to the same place, but when I pointed that out, everyone snickered. Why that was so funny, I had no idea. They were up to something. Rimmel and I never should have left the four of them to their own devices almost the entire day while we planned what was going to be an amazing wedding. For all the I don't knows and I don't really cares, Rimmel certainly decided on what she wanted quick. Well, okay, not so much the details. But she knew the exact location she wanted, and when Valerie said she thought it might not be possible, Rim proved her wrong. Yep. She proved Valerie Anderson wrong. She picked up her phone, dialed a number to a private line, and minutes later we had a wedding location. Score. Rimmel, 2. 1 for the location plus 1 for getting Romeo. Valerie, 100. Rim's was totes catching up. After she got her way on that and announced the color she wanted to use, everything else became just details again.
Valerie sort of started to take over, but Rimmel didn't seem to care. We were supposed to go back over to the Andersons in a few days, because more decisions had to be made. Brayden started laughing, and it pulled me out of my thoughts. What? I asked. He motioned with his chin.
I should have known.
I glanced ahead and smiled. There was an empty parking spot near the club's entrance. Romeo always had a parking spot. Always. But this time, there were two beside it. One for each of us. Brayden took the spot on the far right. Romeo pulled right beside him, and my brother took up the one on the left. Brayden rolled his window down as the truck's engine still ran. Romeo rolled down both the passenger side and driver's side windows of his car, and as I peered around B, I saw my brother do the same.
Hells yeah!
B hollered. Laughter from everyone filtered into the cab, but was way too quickly interrupted by the paparazzi swarming the Hellcat. Everyone rolled up their windows, trying to get one last minute's peace before we had to make our way through it all.
Stay close,
B told me, wrapping one of the loose waves falling over my shoulder around his finger. With pleasure, I replied. He popped his door open and held it wide, using it as sort of a barricade against the people calling out Romeo's and Rimmel's names. But the second he was on the pavement, people started calling his name, too. He smiled and waved for the cameras, but then came back inside the cab and held out his hand.
Come on.
I gave him my hand and slid across the seat. He lifted me out of the elevated red truck and quickly put me on my feet. I was a little disappointed he didn't slide me down his body like always.
You just had to wear a dress, didn't you, Blondie?
He muttered, smoothing his hand over the flirty skirt. He was worried I was going to flash someone. I gave him a cheeky smile. Good thing I'm wearing underwear. He groaned and reached behind him to open the passenger door of the Hellcat.
Come on, Tudor girl.
Rimmel climbed out of the car, looking photo-ready thanks to me, and smiled.
Thanks,
she murmured to B, and then smiled for the cameras. She was dressed in a pair of white skinny jeans, black booty wedges, with black bows on the sides, and a loose yellow chiffon top with fluttery cap leaves. Over that, she was wearing a black leather jacket that she would never have picked out if I hadn't literally handed it to her and told her to put it on. It might not be her preferred hoodie, but she looked really awesome in it. To top off her outfit, I pulled her long hair up into a high ponytail that I flat ironed, so it would fall sleekly down her back. Her black rimmed glasses only enhanced the look. She was totally rocking the whole sexy nerd look. Romeo came around the back of the Hellcat and pulled Rimmel into his side. They were stopped immediately for pictures, and instead of trying to rush away, they stopped and smiled, looking every bit the football royalty they had become. Brayden finally slammed the door to his truck, and a few reporters called his name from behind. He linked our hands and turned. We smiled for a couple photos as reporters yelled out questions to him about the draft, the rumors that the Knights wanted him, and about his history with Romeo. I heard Romeo answering similar questions, and of course, they were also being asked about their wedding, the location, and all those details. It was chilly out, and my choice to wear a skirt only served in delivering me a nice draft up my legs. I shivered lightly, and Brayden paused for a split second in answering a question to anchor me at his side with his arm.
Is there a wedding in the works for you two as well?
Someone beside me asked.
That's for me to know and you to find out,
Brayden replied smoothly. He leaned into my ear to whisper.
Come on.
And then we pivoted around again to join Romeo and Rimmel.
Do you have a comment on the rumors you had time to pull out the man who died in the car accident with your girlfriend, but you left him in the vehicle to die?
A rather loud and rather rude reporter yelled. Brayden stopped. The set of his jaw was hard. Of course the media was going to be all over this. How could they not conjure up all kinds of scenarios after what happened at the party the other night when Robert showed up?
I don't comment on gossip,
Brayden said, hard, and then started walking again. Romeo had heard the exchange and was standing there with a look on his face that matched B's. The second we reached them,
He took Rimmel's hand, and both guys positioned themselves so they were on the outside of us, and Rim and I were shielded. Drew and Trent were right beside the Mustang, and the second we approached, Trent took up residence in front of me and Rim, and Drew did the same from behind. They were closing us in, making it so Rim and I were completely inaccessible to the press. The bouncer at the door saw us coming and opened it swiftly, nodding at the guys.
"No press,"
he yelled when a few reporters tried to slip in with us.
"Thank Christ,"
Braden muttered. I took a chance to look around, and of course, the place was packed. The second we walked in, people started cheering and howling. This was the Wolfpack country. And to the people of Alpha U, Romeo and B would always be wolves first. After that, drinks appeared, music pumped through the entire warehouse-looking building, and it was an all-around typical college night. In other words, it was the best. Rimmel's tongue was blue from the Smurf balls. Drew and Trent were surrounded by so many women on the dance floor they were scarcely visible, and Missy sat at a table with a group of people I didn't know. I couldn't help but notice how she watched my friends and me half the night. I danced as much as B would let me. He kept telling me to sit down because of the baby. All the guys were extra watchful of me, worried someone might body check me like before. It was going to be a long 9 months, and this poor baby, God help her if she was a girl. With three very large, very protective uncles right in her home, plus a daddy who tackled men for a living. Well, she was going to need a lot of patience.
Ooh, Patience was a nice name.
A slow song came over the speakers, and Braden's familiar arms wrapped around me from behind.
Time to go, Blondie.
I craned my neck so I could look back at him. Go?
We got somewhere we need to be.
Where? I questioned, narrowing my eyes.
Somewhere.
He kissed the tip of my nose.
Kay,
I sighed. I was such a sucker. Braden went over and said something in Romeo's ear, and he nodded. I watched them pound it out, and Rimmel gave me a "what's going on" look, and I shrugged. But then she smiled, a secret-like smile. She knew, too. Once the goodbyes were said, B led me to the door. On the way, we passed right by Missy's table. I couldn't help it. I stopped in front of her. She looked up at me, mild surprise in her eyes.
Twice in one day? Be careful, Ivy. People might think we're friends again.
File that under things that will never happen. How can we be sure you won't talk? I cut right to the chase.
How little faith you have.
I lifted a perfectly sculpted brow at her. Big crowd tonight. The buzz boss made sure everyone knew where the party was. It was an innocent statement, but she knew damn well what I meant. Missy shrugged one of her delicate shoulders.
That's what the buzz boss does. Keeps people in the know on important social events.
Just social? She stood up from the table then, giving her new friends a smile, the poor suckers, and leaned in.
I'm not going to say anything. Parties are one thing. Real life is different.
I believed her. Maybe I shouldn't, but I did.
I won't hurt you like that.
She lowered her voice.
Not again. Not especially now that other people are involved.
She glanced pointedly at my waist. So it was the baby that convinced her to let all this go?
Good luck, Ivy,
Missy said, the note of finality in her voice clear. My stomach dropped a little. I'd written Missy off a long time ago. I stopped thinking of her as my friend. But I never really said goodbye to her. In a way, it had never really been finished. She just said goodbye. This was it. The complete and total end of my relationship with her.
Thank you, I said sincerely.
I hope you find a good life and keep it.
I hope you don't screw it up like you did with us.
Me too. Her eyes slid to Braden, who was standing there silently listening to our entire exchange.
"See you, Missy,"
was all he said. "Bye, Brayden," she echoed. We stood there awkwardly for a few seconds more, and then she sat back down at her table and turned toward her friends. It hurt a little. Missy and I hadn't drifted apart naturally, but after everything, the result was just the same. Brayden's palm nestled against my back, reminding me that even though that part of my life was over, the best part was just beginning. Out in the parking lot, we hurried through the crowd of reporters still camped out. There were less than when we first arrived, but still enough to be annoying. After the question about Zach's death, it was completely unspoken that we not talk to any more press, at least not until the rumors died down. Inside the truck, I sat close to B, his large hand on my thigh, scooting up beneath my skirt.
"Maybe this whole dress thing isn't so bad,"
he smiled wickedly. Of course it wasn't bad. I looked cute as hell with a full hot pink skirt, navy heels, and navy baby tee with white polka dots. Since it was cold, I added a military-style fitted jacket in white with dark-colored buttons. "Where are we going?" I asked. He put the truck in reverse and backed out of the spot. As he drove through the parking lot, he tossed me an impressive smile.
"You issued a challenge, baby. I had to rise to the occasion."
I recalled no such challenge, but I had to admit I was excited to find out what so-called occasion he was rising to.
Chapter 46. The worst kind of goodbye is the one when you know you won't ever say hello again. Hashtag time to move on. Hashtag BuzzBoss. Brayden. I was nervous. I didn't like it. Confidence wasn't something I usually had to work for, but Ivy always had been. She deserved a lot more than I ever thought I could give a woman, but that wasn't going to stop me. They say the best things in life come from pushing out of your comfort zone, and I was learning whoever the hell said that was right. It was probably some smart guy like Albert Einstein or some shit. I went out of my comfort zone when I turned her dorm room into a beach, when I promised Ivy it was our beginning, and that from then on it was only her. I didn't regret it, not even a little. I never thought I was a relationship kind of guy. I always ran away when the feels got real. I was done running. I was in so deep with Ivy, it would kill me if I ever had to go back. I pulled onto the familiar one-lane back road that she and I had driven down quite a few times before. She didn't say anything, but her cheek found its way to my shoulder, and as I drove, we sat silently, so close together, as the wide landscape opened up before us. This was it. This was the best I had. If she said no tonight... I wasn't taking no for an answer. Oh, hell's no. We rounded a bend in the road, and off to my left the ground gently fell away, revealing a sweeping view of mountaintops and trees. I knew in the morning a dewy fog would rise up between the bare tree branches and create an eerily beautiful sunrise. My eyes abandoned the would-be view and glanced off to the right, toward the other side of the road. In this section of the mountain, there used to be an apple orchard. Many of the trees were long gone and tall grasses grew in their place, but there were still a few old, twisty apple trees that still grew here, jutting out of the earth like they owned the place. Hell, they'd been here long enough. Maybe they did. I looked for one particular grouping of trees that still stood not far away from the road. It was easy to find, and I smiled. It was lit up, just like it was supposed to be. Soft, golden light shone against the otherwise dark background. I knew when Ivy noticed the glow. Her head lifted from my shoulder, and she leaned forward a bit to stare out the windshield.
"What is that?"
she asked. "Not sure," I hedged as we drove closer at an unhurried pace. I wanted her to take it all in, let her wonder, and frankly, I needed a minute to calm my shit. God, you'd think I was a virgin and it was my first time getting some.
"Are those lights?"
she asked as we approached. Her voice was slightly wondrous. She leaned a little closer to the windshield and then patted me on the arm excitedly.
Those are lights. Someone wrapped those old trees in lights.
You don't say, I drawled.
You did this, she gasped. Oh my word, it's gorgeous.
Yep. It turned out a lot better than I thought it would. I mean, really, four guys with a bunch of lights and shit, a ladder and a truck. The entire time I caught shit for it, too. They all voted me closest thing to a living book boyfriend. Like they even knew what the hell that was. I was never going to live it down. Naturally, I had to remind Rome of his grand proposal on national TV. That at least shut him up. The other two, though, they ribbed us endlessly. Their days were coming. Hell, if a guy like me could get taken down by love, then so the hell could they. At least, we were alone tonight. Just me, Ivy, and the stars. As we drew closer, the details came into sight. Three twisty, bare apple trees created a small, enclosed space in the wide-open land. We'd wrapped the trunks, starting at the ground, with yards of white lights, and carried them up along some of the lowest-hanging branches. The trees hadn't been pruned in a long time, so the branches were uneven and crooked. But as I looked at the way they illuminated the night, I realized it only added to the charm. We didn't take the lights up into the upper branches, because on those, I'd hung jars from long white cord and put battery-powered candles in them that we'd turned on before we left. I hadn't been able to tell how bright the light would be when we were here in daylight, but seeing it now, it looked pretty damn good. The jars hung at different heights, some lower and some higher. There was a gentle breeze tonight, and they swayed gently beneath the canopy of branches.
Braden,
Ivy whispered, her eyes never leaving the illuminated space when I stopped in front of the sight.
There are stars, too,
she gasped and gripped my arm again. You ever sit around and cut out a million stars out of white paper?
It sucked.
Gave my hand a damn cramp and a crick in my neck. And threading the little fuckers onto long strings, one after the other, without ripping them, sucked even worse. But I had to admit, the way the lights cast a golden glow over the plain white paper, and the way they seemed to rain down from the trees was pretty cool. What was better? The way Ivy was staring out the window at it all, like she'd never seen anything so beautiful. I pulled forward a little more and slid the truck in reverse. Ivy craned her neck around so she could stare out the back window at the decorations as if she were too impatient to lose the view for even a second. I backed off the road, into the grass, and steered the bed of the truck so it slid right under the trees. Once it was in park, I jumped out and leapt up into the bed. I used the same blankets and pillows we used before, tossing them around the back to make for a comfortable place to sit. Since it was colder out, technically, it was still winter than all the other times we'd come here, I added a few extra blankets and made sure to layer a few thick sleeping bags I'd rummaged out of my mom's garage on the bed so we had some cushion to sit on. When that was done, I lifted Ivy out of the cab, and she raced around to the tailgate, where she spun in a circle in the grass and looked up at the lights. She looked beautiful. Her nose was already pink from the cold. Her eyes were sparkling with happiness, and the golden waves of her hair practically shone like a halo beneath the lights. When I stood rooted in place, just watching her, she laughed and blew me a kiss. Owned. There wasn't a single solitary part of me Ivy didn't own. Every star I cut, every light I strung, and every single stupid joke the guys made at my expense today suddenly became nothing compared to seeing her standing here beneath it all.
Come over here,
she grinned and beckoned me with her hands. I grabbed her up the second she was within reach and kissed her until my lungs burned from lack of air.
I can't believe you did all this, she whispered, looking up into the trees once more.
Figured I owed you since I screwed up so royally before. Her nose wrinkled and her eyes found mine.
What do you mean?
Instead of answering, I picked her up and deposited her in the bed of the truck. I jumped in after her, and we both kicked off our shoes and dove into the blankets. "You cold?" I asked, tucking a second blanket around her shoulders.
"No way," she murmured, still staring up at the trees.
Some of the jars and stars hung down close to us, and she reached up and fingered one of the paper stars.
"Did you cut these?"
"Got the blister to prove it."
"Let me see,"
she instructed, and her slim hand appeared from beneath a pile of covers. I held mine out and turned it so she could see the proof of my hard labor. "Hey, a guy's got to get all the credit he can when he does something like this."
"Poor thing,"
she crooned, and lifted my hand to kiss it. "I got one right here, too." I showed her my other hand. Her lips brushed over it in a cool caress. "Here, too." I pointed to my lips.
"Hmm," she mused. "I'm not seeing that one."
"Woman, get over here!" I wrapped both arms around her, and we toppled over, with her on my chest. Her hair fell like a curtain around us, blocking out everything but the closeness of her lips, the love in her eyes, and the feel of her body right against mine. I used my tongue to coax her mouth open, gently tracing the contours of her lips until they parted on a contented sigh. I swept inside her mouth, using my tongue lazily to kiss her in a languid caress that made my head feel fuzzy. With a sigh, she rolled off me and onto her back. We lay there, our heads touching and our fingers entwined, and stared up at the lights and stars.
"I love it here," she whispered.
"Make a wish," I whispered back. The nerves I felt when we first got here returned, no longer subdued by the heat of our kiss.
"There's lots of stars to pick from,"
she mused, and it played right into my hands. "Meant to be." I untangled myself from the blanket and stood.
"What are you doing?"
she asked. "I have just the star for you to wish on." "Please don't let her think this is cheesy," I silently prayed.
"Show me,"
Ivy said, still snuggled in a mountain of blankets. I walked toward the tailgate and stretched up to one star that was different from the rest. "This one," I said, catching it between my fingers as it moved in the night air.
"It's different."
She abandoned the warmth she'd been lying in and came over to stand beside me.
"Oh, it's like it's 3D. Is it hollow inside?"
"I think I want a wish on this one. You mind?" Her eyes were curious when they turned on me, away from the star.
"Sure."
It took a second to tug it down, but when I did, the star filled my palm. It was simple and crudely cut, but it got the job done. "I wish I may, I wish I might," I murmured as I slowly opened the star, taking it apart. "Have this wish. I wish tonight." When I was done, the star lay open on my palm, each point slightly curled in from being folded. In the center, tied to the string it had been hanging from, was a diamond ring. Ivy made a sound and pressed her hand to her mouth. Her eyes were twice the size they normally were as she divided her gaze between me and the ring. "I wish for you, Blondie," I said. "I wish to spend the rest of my life loving the shit out of you." Her eyes glittered more than any of the lights I'd strung up tonight, and she stared down at the ring, her eyes never once straying.
"Hey,"
I murmured and tipped her chin up with my free hand. "I know I asked before, and I know it totally sucked. It's hard for me to tell you.